Good afternoon. I'd like to open the Senate Education and Workforce Development Committee. A couple of announcements. First, we will carry over Senate Bill 545, and we will begin with a work session on Senate Bill 937. That is an ESD rate change bill that the Ways and Means Committee would like from us. And so it's just a simple matter of a no recommendation passed from our committee to their committee, if that's okay. Senator Morris.
I'm going to read some of it. Also, it was being sent to Finance and Revenue, so we need to put in a request that the president's order be rescinded.
That's right.
Okay. Except he just said no recommendation.
Are we in a work session, Mr. Chair?
Open up a work session on Senate Bill 937.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 937 with no recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee and a request that the President rescind the prior referral to Finance and Revenue.
Senator Morris moves that Senate Bill 937 without any recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee and a request that the Senate President rescind the prior referral to Finance and Revenue Committee. Any discussion? Any objections? Measure is sent to Ways and Means Committee with a request that referral to the Senate Revenue Committee be rescinded. All right, and I would like to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 275. Linda?
Senate Bill 275 requires the Board of Community Colleges District to develop standards for community college to implement and give credit for education and training obtained by persons while serving in the United States Armed Forces. It directs the Board of Education of Community College District to work with the Department of Veterans Affairs to develop methods for informing persons who served in the Armed Forces about potential credit for education and training.
Thank you. Okay, let me look at our list here. We have some folks who would like to testify on Senate Bill 275. Let's start with Jim Willis, Brandon Harris.
Tom Mann's with the Health Department.
Tom Mann, are you? Yeah, okay, good. Your team up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Mann. I'm with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I apologize, my director, Jim Willis, has been delayed, so you have my written testimony in front of you. This bill comes to you from the Legislative Task Force on Veterans Reintegration. This was a task force that met during the interim to take a look at reintegrating issues for our returning veterans, and one of those issues is education. As we looked at this, we examined how veterans take their military education and training and transfer that for college credit. And we held a work group study with Bill Taylor, who was the committee administrator of the interim committee. And we invited the university system and the community colleges to participate. We had a long discussion about how do they do this. There is a system in place, and the acronym is ACE. It's the, I think it's the Academy of Education, something education. American Council of Education. Thank you. They have done a crosswalk for military occupational specialties and that kind of education and how that transfers into college credit. We were very intrigued by this because it seems a lot of the work has been done. We learned during that meeting that the Oregon University system already uses the ACE system to apply credit for their military veterans who come to be students on their campuses, so we were very excited about that. As we were talking to the community colleges, they said, well, some of us are working on that. For example, Clackamas Community College is doing a great program right now to try to work a statewide system to do that for the community colleges. So the task force felt that it would be important to put a bill out to that would encourage the community colleges to have a statewide system. Now, it was interesting. I was here about a week ago, and I heard Senator George talk about the local control of the community colleges, and we were very sensitive to that. I've given that actually a lot of thought in the past week, and I've talked to our community college friends about this bill. They supported it in the Veterans Committee. It had a subsequent referral to you. And the reason we thought this was an important bill from a policy perspective is sometimes having a statewide policy where you have consistency is important, and can be a good complement to even a local control issue. So we were happy that the community colleges were with us on this bill and testified to that in the Veterans Committee. We think it's a good bill, and what it's going to do is, if a veteran leaves service with whatever their military occupational specialty was, and I'll just use myself as an example. I was a Russian linguist and interrogator in the Army. I had a year of intensive Russian training, learned the language. When I got out of college, when I got out of the university or out of the military, I had gone to the University of Oregon, and they had to crosswalk those 1,880 hours of Russian I had into some level of college credit. And so I received about 2 years of Russian credit for my military training. Those kind of things we want to be consistent. We wouldn't want me to come out of the military and get 2 years of college credit for that at University of Oregon, but only a year at some other university or some other community college. So what we're trying to do is create a consistent system that no matter where the veteran goes within our higher education system and within our community college system, they got the same amount of credit. And we believe that using that ACE system, and that's kind of where everyone's looking, works pretty well. And so 275 we thought was a good bill from the task force, and we appreciated the Veterans Committee passing it along to you, and we hope that you see that it is a good bill as well. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you have on it.
Thank you. Chair Haas, members of the committee, my name is Brandon Harris. I'm a student at Portland State University. And although I'm not a veteran, I am here today as a representative of the Oregon Student Association. We represent over 100,000 students in community colleges and public universities statewide, and we unanimously support this bill along with the Oregon Community College Association. I very much respect and appreciate our men and women in uniform and believe this bill will help returning veterans receive their diploma. A dear friend of mine is a Navy veteran and just started community college actually 2 days ago, and he's at Chemeketa right now. I believe a bill like this would do a number of things for our returning veterans and new students. First, when my friend left the service, he said, the service and the real world are completely two different worlds. And so it's very, very difficult for a serviceman or woman to cope with leaving the service and communicating really in different ways. And I feel as if by applying training that people received, that servicemen received while they were in the military to their community colleges, it's bridging the gap between the two worlds, and it's making it so that they feel more comfortable in the university, which they may have never attended before. Secondly, many veterans feel apprehensive about having to spend 4 or more years at a university or community college after already spending 4+ years in the military. By awarding credits for military training, the task of completing school seems less daunting. Many veterans have never taken class, and it will encourage them if they are starting ahead instead of starting from nothing. And finally, as the previous speaker said, the ACE evaluation system provides an alternative to each community college evaluating each and every training program, which it alleviates the additional costs that might occur because of this. If they use ACE, which I've been reading up on it, they have experts go and evaluate the training programs, the trainers, the curriculum, and it's a very thorough system, and they transfer it into credits in quarters and semesters, so that's nice as well. Yes, this bill puts further requirements on our community colleges, but requirements that are vital to ensuring our community colleges better serve our returning veterans. Thank you to men like Mark Saxton, who will be speaking next, who have given to our country, and SB 275 is a chance to give back to our veterans. I encourage a yes vote on SB 275, and I would be happy to take any questions. I appreciate your time. Thank you. Questions for these two? Senator Morris? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Saxton, John Wyckoff.
Chair House, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Wyckoff. I'm going to be extremely brief today. I simply am here to confirm what Mr. Mann had said to you, that this is, we have been working with them. I feel pretty good about this legislation as a good step forward that will allow us really to take some of the really good work that has been done at Clackamas Community College to crosswalk these credits for soldiers, and so we think this is a good step to continue in that direction, and appreciate the committee's work on this.
Thank you.
Chair Haas and members of the committee, thank you for taking the time to hear the testimonies that are being given today on the Senate Bill 275. My name is Mark Saxton, and I am president of the Veterans Club of Lane Community College and a student senator for Lane Community College as well. I'm here to advocate for Senate Bill 275 because it stands, as it stands, the military transcripts of any given student veteran of a community college is not looked at at all until after the veteran has completed his college credits. At that time, they might look at it. I myself am a disabled veteran of the United States Marine Corps, and after 23 years, I have no idea how many of my classes that could have been bypassed, you know, by the training that I received while in the Corps. Although I have tried to get my transcripts from the Marine Corps, I have not been able to find out where they're at. I know some of the veterans around my campus are really concerned about why their transcripts from the military are not currently accepted, and for this, I have no answer. The training I received in the military was extensive, and school count for college credit would be great. We veterans and service members have placed our lives on the line for the defense of this country, and to have our sweat and tears not be acknowledged, I feel is unjust. But I also feel that the passing of this bill would correct the situation. Once again, thank you for your opportunity, for the opportunity to testify today, and please vote yes on Senate Bill 275. Thank you again, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your testimony. My question is it consistent in all the community colleges that a determination for life experience is made after a course of study?
As far as I have, with the research that I have gotten, yes. It's really inconsistent. We have a couple colleges that are a little farther along than others, but the majority of them are really lagging.
Chair Haas, Senator Morse, I think that's right. I mean, I think for some of the colleges, they're further ahead on this. Clackamas has been working with under an East Walmart grant because this can be a fairly complex process. And the example that was given in the Veterans Affairs Committee by Joanne Truesdale, president of Clackamas, was I believe the Military War College has something like 80 water treatment courses that cover various parts of that, whereas Clackamas will only have 20 or so. And so trying to fit in, all of the different courses that you'll get in the military on that is a process. And so a couple of the colleges, well, Clackamas in particular, through the grant that they have had, is probably farther ahead on this than some of the colleges. And so I think the idea is to take the work that's been done there and to sort of use best practices and to allow to get the other colleges all with the ability to do that. But what they call crosswalking courses from the military into to the community college can be a complicated process because of the complexity of some of the courses they're dealing with on the military side.
Because the vocation that you might learn at some base somewhere, some military school, isn't offered at, say, Clatsop
exactly.
Community College.
Correct.
And how do you deal with that? Yeah.
See, and with Lane Community College, 2 years ago, we received the live grant through Walmart, and through that, we developed some courses were developed for the military, but it doesn't, it hasn't gotten to where the courses from the military can transfer over yet. They're working on it, but with the current budget situation, it's really hard to get anybody hired to do that crosswalking and getting the...
Senator George?
The community colleges, if I'm going to, let's say, for instance,
Clackamas Community College, and I decide that I'm going to move to Astoria, and I'm going to go to Clatsop Community College, how do those credits transfer? Because the classes don't match up there either. So how does that work? I mean, if I'm working towards a degree, a two-year degree, is there a transferability right now between the community colleges on that kind of situation?
Yeah, you might have a situation where if there were courses that weren't offered at one college, but they would still be transferable. But they might not be a course that is offered at Clatsop that would be at Clackamas. Between our colleges, I believe they would all be transferable. I'd want to go back and get back to you and make sure that that is always the case. And then we have some transfer degrees where the idea would be they would not only be transferable as a block, whether it's our associate's transfer degree or our transfer module, which is 1 year, so that you would be transferable not just to a community college but also have all your credits transfer as a block to a university, an Oregon university as well.
So I'm just trying to understand, why wouldn't it be more efficient to have, if you say it was Chemeket or Clackamas that has this already partly done?
Clackamas.
So if Clackamas already has this partially done with a grant, would it be better to have all the veterans go to Clackamas, get all of their military records validated into credits, and then transfer those credits to the community college that they are wanting to attend?
Senator George, I suspect what you would find is that a lot of these folks are more place-bound. I mean, a lot of the folks who use a community college are coming to a community college because it is located in their community,
right.
And they're place-bound by family and needing to work in their community. And so my guess would be that probably, from the veteran perspective, would not be a very accessible way to do it.
I'm not talking about them physically going to Clackamas. I'm just saying that Clackamas would receive the military records for those that want to attend school, because they're already doing all the work. They process it and send it out to whatever class, and then just transfer the credits to. I mean, rather than everybody doing this 26 different ways or 18 different ways or whatever it is, I'm just asking.
Chair House, Senator George, it's a good question.
Like a clearinghouse,
what we will be doing and working with the Department of Veterans Affairs on is, I think what we will try to do on the House side is make it so that this legislation all goes through, so that this is done at CCWD, the Community College and Workforce Development Department, so that you're doing this once instead of 17 times. We all agree on that. We hadn't gotten it ready in time for this committee, but we all, I think, feel pretty comfortable that that's the right way to go and that this can be done on the House side.
That makes me feel more comfortable.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
And we don't need to do this 17
okay.
times.
All right, thank you very much.
John, can you look at line 8? There's either grammatical or maybe I'm reading it wrong. The district to implement to give credit for education. It may make sense, but grammatically, I would mark this with a red pen.
I don't actually have it in front of me, and you may very well be right. I'm sorry, what line, Senator?
8.
Are you talking about for the community college district, for the college of the district to implement to give credit for education and training?
Yes.
I would agree that that is an awkwardly formed sentence.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to share something that I found while looking at the ACE website, just because I find it incredibly impressive. This is just the page for the Army American Council on Education Registry Transcript System. And this is for Army National Guard and U.S. Army Reserve to get their transcripts out to the institutions. They have a database of 4,500,000 soldier records. They fill over 7,000 requests per week. In addition to transcript requests, they also process 1,500 research inquiries per week. But here's the impressive part, Mr. Chair and Committee. Transcript requests are processed on the workday they are received and mailed within 2 weeks. Academic institutions, Army education centers, and employers around the world who are registered for web service get them within 24 hours of the request. I just thought that was a phenomenally responsive record in terms of getting records out to
right.
help the people in the service. I was very impressed with that, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Okay. Any further comments or questions? Thank you both.
Thank you.
I close public hearing on Senate Bill 275.
and open up a work session on Senate Bill 275.
The language that you questioned, Mr. Chair, we'll leave intact and address on the other side. Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 275 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 275 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, measure Senate Bill 275 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Morris, would you like to carry this?
I will. Thank you.
I close the work session on Senate Bill 275 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 338. Go ahead.
Sure. We have had a hearing on Senate Bill 338, but once again, to summarize, this bill expands post-secondary institution tuition waiver for children, spouses, and unremarried spouses of deceased or disabled veterans to include college, community college students. Provides that the waiver applies to the 2011-2012 school year unless the student received a Marine Gunnery Sergeant John David Fry Scholarship. Declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2011. We do have an amendment on this. Shall I? Amendment, the Dash 1 Amendment, establishes a task force consisting of the 17 community college district presidents to address the issue of tuition waivers for veterans and their families and to determine a common set of policies in alignment with and no more restrictive than the policies adopted by the Oregon University system. The task force shall submit a report, including recommendations, to the Legislative Assembly before the next regular legislative session.
Okay, thank you. And we have John Wyckoff and Ryan Green, Tom. Mm-hmm. Ryan, Tom. Committee, I think you remember our hearing last week. There was a lot of tension, and it grieved me to see veterans on opposite sides of an issue, any issue. And felt like we're all on the same team, and there was some angst among our committee. And Senator Morris came up with, I thought, a pretty good idea that we had drafted into an amendment, which is to say, let's give the community colleges until February to say, here's what we're doing to address this issue. And I talked by phone to some of the vets who were here the other day and told them this is what we're thinking of, and generally agreed. So let's start with Tom.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. Again, Tom Mann with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Thanks to staff also for providing the amendment so we can take a look at it. We're excited to work with the community colleges. The one thing we talked about with them is we'd sure like to be able to be a technical advisor as they do their work. One of the things I think that the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs can bring to the table is a little bit of expertise on disabled veterans and dependent benefits and those kind of issues, because that's kind of our lane in the road. So we're happy with the Dash 1 amendment and to work with the community colleges. I find them eager to do the right thing, as I testified last week, and so we're eager to work with them and to work out this compromise so that at the end of the day, everyone's on the same page.
Okay. Ryan?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Ryan Green. I am the Government Relations Director for the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America. And also for the record, I always like to make it clear that I myself am not a veteran, but I'm hired to speak on behalf of our 389 members, plus I also advocate for all people with disabilities. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the hearing last week. I was in Washington, D.C., heard about the amendment shortly before the committee meeting here, and just again for the record want to say that my organization originally supported the bill in its original intent, understand how the amendment came about, but would encourage, along with this amendment, that at least a veteran representative or some type of veterans organization be appointed to the task force. And with that, I'll close my testimony.
Well, thank you, Ryan. It does say that this will be in consultation with the Department of Veterans Affairs, so.
Good.
John?
Chair Haas, members of the committee, again for the record, my name is John Wyckoff. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Community College Association. I'd first just like to extend a thank you to the committee and to Senator Morse for your work on compromise language here. We really feel that the language in this amendment really reinforces the work that the college is already doing to make each of the 17 waiver programs that are offered on each campus uniform. And the colleges have all 17 colleges have agreed to a uniform template proposal. And so I think with a process like this, what it allows us to do is communicate the work that we're doing to the department and to the interested groups, and creates a process for that to happen. I mean, one of the conversations that we have had since this concept originated was that we want to make sure that the veterans groups will know when the task force is meeting, so that we can have this conversation. Because I think part of what has happened here is a lack of communication about what was happening and where enhancements needed to be made. And I think a lot of that conversation happened here, and so I think that this probably creates a process for that conversation to happen, and for the presidents to continue to look at the policies they have and make sure that they are aligned and that they are all consistent. So we look forward to continuing to work with you on this issue, and thank you for your work on it.
Thank you, and I did tell the vets that I talked to that when you come back with your report in February, we will have drafted in February the exact language in 338, and it'll be sitting there on the table. And not to put any pressure on you or anything, but they felt better.
Perhaps we'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah. Any questions?
A gentle nudge. A gentle nudge, Mr. Chair.
So, thank you. I'll close a public hearing on Senate Bill 338 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 338.
Mr. Chair, I move the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 338 dated 3/29/11.
Senator Morse moves the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 338 dated 3/1/11.
3/29/11.
Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, the -1 amendment has been adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 338 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morse moves Senate Bill 338. Senator Morse moves Senate Bill 338 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 338 as amended will be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I will carry that bill. We have cleared out this agenda.
And the room.
Which is okay, because we have a big day coming up on Tuesday. So if there's no other business, we're adjourned.